And the purpose of this call is to just to pick up kind of where we left off from a call a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, we came back.
I'm sorry?
So, yes, we came back. I got cut off the line. Jim.
Yep, okay.
Hey, Vic, Wally just called me.
Early morning to start.
Sorry?
I'm sorry, I missed part of what happened. I was off for a few minutes.
Nope, no problem.
Are you ready to start?
We're ready to go. If you want to make, well, it's pretty quiet now, so we're good. So, anyway, I'd just like to start the call so we're not here too long.
Yeah.
Just we're just kind of picking up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. I think we had the last call. And just maybe clear some air for some people on just what this 100% return of tax is. And first off, I'd like to say that drawing an income does subject one to the Income Tax Act. And the idea behind the 100% return of tax, again, whether they take the full return or the offer or not is not the point. You have at that point effectively removed yourself from being subject to the Income Tax Act. So that's the first step. And it is contrary to what the mind would indicate and probably what most people are teaching out there with respect to remedy, if you will. And from my perspective, what I see is anyone that's drawing an income, it is voluntary, and unless you put it on the table that you're offering to make the 100% return, it's still voluntary to be a taxpayer. So in making the voluntary return, offer of the return of 100%, again, is when one frees himself from being subject to the Income Tax Act. Irrespective of whether or not you still get the money, it's the intent behind it all here that is the motivating factor. And so as it is now, I would suggest that everyone that's on the taxes is being recognized as a taxpayer, has volunteered, regardless of what the beliefs are. And that's what the law, the CRA agents are acting on, is the current information in the system. And I spoke with a few more people in the last week or so that have done that 100% tax return thing, even by telephone. And they've not heard from the Canada Revenue Agency ever since.
You want this?
If you would kindly mute the phone out there, we don't have to hear your conversation. That would be great. Thank you. Just push *6. And this call is being recorded, too, for others that can listen to it again later on. So, anyway, that's kind of the principle behind the 100% tax return, is it removes you from being subject to the Income Tax Act is the very first thing that has to occur, and there has to be a willingness to do that. And, I would suggest that the willingness is not to get personal gain or personal benefit out of this deal. It's actually to move to the next millennium, if you will, which is the era of love and peace, and where humanity is maybe going from me to here.
This is
all. We'll just wait here until whoever can mutes out, have respect for everyone else. When you guys have finished your conversation, I'll carry on with mine. Are we done? Thank you. So, that's the basis of the 100% return of tax. Getting into the trust agreement, just to readdress that issue, is the purpose of that agreement is really nothing more than to give the trustee the authority to speak for you. Nothing more than that. It's not a transfer of assets or a transfer of responsibility, money or anything like that. Just simply authority to speak to you on your behalf with respect to income tax matters and banking matters. And one, they're both related in that the government puts up the bonds, and as we know, the income tax payment is to pay the interest to the bond holder, and which is the banks. And so there's a connection here, ultimately, between the Income Tax Act and banking. And so the trustee's duty is to basically to speak on your behalf with respect to these matters. And I'm just drawing on my own knowledge here. I'm not relying on anyone else's. And the only people that are going to actually see or be able to discuss the letter the trustee is going to be sending in are those that are partaking. And even then, it won't be a full disclosure, because if you think about it, if you hire a lawyer, for example, to take care of your affairs, the lawyer doesn't show you all the letters he sends in. He just does what is supposed to be in your interest. And that is one of the duties of the trustee, is if those who have read the trust agreement, seen it, are aware that the duty of the trustee is to act in your best interest. And so the letter, the content of the actual letter that will be sent by the trustee will be shared or discussed. I could say not 100% of it. There's a couple little things in there I want to leave out. But for all intents and purposes, before I can send the letter in, I have to make sure that everyone is aware of it as per the terms of the agreement. So I will be adhering to, as a trustee, to my duty to the people who sign on to the trust agreement. And if you read the agreement, you'll see in there what the duty of the trustee is. But again, it's not a transfer of assets or power of attorney over your life or anything like that. It's just specifically to deal with income tax matters and money and matters related to banking. Again, being connected. And a little bit of change of perspective on the return of tax is to recognize that other powers to be here in Canada being in bankruptcy, so we're actually going to be communicating with the trustee in bankruptcy, which we haven't really done before, although CRA does work for that party, that being the Canada Revenue Agency. So again, the folks that partake in that program will be aware, made aware of, and would pretty much have to agree with the content of the letter that the trustee is sending, because the trustee has basically said, we have discussed this and we have discussed that and we have discussed these, that, this, that, and the other thing, and we've all agreed. So we have to have a common agreement. Now, I'm not saying that there's something in there that you don't agree with, and it's up for discussion. But the point being is that anyone that partakes, there has to be a communication between those partaking and the trustee so that everyone is in the loop. And then again, the letter from the trustee is saying, we have discussed this and all are in agreement that. And then there's a whole list of what that is. I can't do that, make that claim if I haven't actually discussed it with you. So, and again, it's to put a bunch of people behind the trustee, more or less. So although the trustee is one voice, everyone that partakes adds power to that voice. So we're speaking collectively, if you will, but through one voice, rather than going forth as individuals. I'd like that too, just before I forget, that there's a potential here to get a lawyer involved from a different perspective. And the reason I'm saying this is it was raised by a lawyer at one time. If you want to stop paying taxes, see a lawyer. And this is not to rely on a lawyer for his legal advice or anything like that, but perhaps it's going to be done through another organization, and I'm not going to mention that on the phone here, that actually this law firm or lawyer works for this particular organization. So the organization would be approaching a lawyer because the organization itself is concerned about the survival of the particular organization. So there's a mass awakening going on in any case, and more and more people at upper levels and then middle levels are becoming aware of the perpetual bondage we're all in, and the perpetual bondage is in taking the money. And I shared recently what Colonel Mandel House said. You guys can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What Colonel Mandel House said is very, very, very relevant, and basically binding everyone into a system here through debt and taxation. It has really got everyone on a treadmill going nowhere. And so everything that Colonel Mandel House said, if you really read between the lines there and read it for what it says, is exactly what is going on. And where he said they would hold the people as chattels forever, that is not true, except that if you don't have the willingness to get off the money system, in other words, if you firmly believe there's no way, other way to live your life in this world other than earning money, then you will, for that act, keep yourself on that loop of perpetual debt and taxation and servitude that Colonel House is talking about. In other words, it's a shift in consciousness is required here to free ourselves, nothing else. It's got nothing to do with the law. Sure, an understanding of the law may help. But ultimately, Colonel House is saying we will suffer the people to earn a living. And everyone I talk to, well, not everyone, but a lot of people I talk to, the first thing out of their mouth is they would be happy to partake in this, but how do they get food on the table? And it is that statement right there, that consciousness right there, that is going to prevent them from freeing themselves. And so we're, again, as talked about the last call, we're kind of going here where no man has gone before. that we're aware of, which is just a, as I say, is a shift in consciousness. So everything Colonel House said is exactly what's going on, and it's evidenced by the consciousness of the people. And again, the statement is, how do I get food on the table if I don't have money? And that belief right there has got us all locked into this perpetual treadmill of debt, and there is no escape other than to stop touching the money. Hence the offer of 100% return of tax. Colonel House also talked about, one of the last comments he made is, after all, it is the only way to fund government. Well, that's not true. So the other aspect of this whole approach with this trust agreement and the return of taxes is to propose to the government for acceptance another way to fund government. Now, the primary thing here, as everyone knows, was the, to get off the tax roll, free of the tax department and the liens and the garnishments and stuff, which last call I said we weren't really going to focus on the liens or garnishments. Well, things have kind of evolved now to the point that we're going for the entire gusto here. We're not going just for the tax return and getting off the tax roll. We're going to the point of having either, and this is just a simple explanation of the two offers that are on the table, and we're coming from the perspective that we're the creditor here, not the debtor, and that we finally internalized that and realized that it's we, the people, that power the system, nothing else. And so we're coming from that perspective, but we're also coming from that perspective from a loving view in that, and this is the offer, basically, is one of two things, is that the government gets all the money and it pays the bills.
This conference is now being recorded.
I'll repeat that. The government gets all of the money through the 100% return of tax offer, and it pays the bills. Or our notes, our promissory notes, keeping in mind here that the government bonds are backed by us, as evidenced by the tax payments. Canada is the principal debtor, and Canada never was or is in a position to meet its financial obligations. It can't do that. It requires the people to basically to volunteer to pay the tax in order that those interest payments are made on the bonds to make those bonds good, which makes the money good. So you can see that we're backing the very money that we're being taxed on. And that goes back again to what Colonel House talked about, is floating these things as a security. And again, in us taking the money, we're basically holding ourselves as chattel, as collateral. And but that aside, we're recognizing here that Canada is the principal debtor and that it has no means, never had the means to meet its financial obligations. So the people are the collateral debtor. And but the beauty of that is that the government, in so doing that, are accepting that. It's not so much that they did it, they've accepted it, that we're making the interest payments. The government at the same time has recognized the value of our credit. In other words, if our credit can make the government bonds good, our credit can make our promises to pay just as good. The difference being is with our promissory notes, there would be no fixed date of maturity, so there's no debt, there's no payment day, and there's no interest obligation. So we're essentially doing the exact same thing the government is doing to create money, or to allow for the creation of money, if you will. Except minus the interest cost and minus the need to repay anything. There's no debt here, is the point. So it's debt-free currency that can be created from this. And once our notes and having our notes accepted at a bank for conversion to money, not to go into your pocket, not to go into a bank account, but to meet a contractual obligation or a debt, same thing, means that you don't need to have the income money. Means that you can go to work and give a hand and command 100% of that money go to the government. And this is the second offer to the government here. Again, is our notes are accepted at a bank. These are non-interest bearing notes. There's no fixed date of maturity. They're accepted for conversion based on our credit, the same credit that makes the government bonds good, that allows for the creation of legal tender. And so with the notes being accepted at a bank on that basis for conversion to money, the money I'm talking about here is that what circulates as money, not what's defined in the Financial Administration Act as bills of exchange and things like that, which do not circulate as money. But yes, they're money, but they do not circulate as money. We're talking about what circulates as money here. And so once our notes are accepted on that basis.
Hello.
Again, gain to be used for the purpose. Hello, used for the purpose of meeting a contractual obligation. For example, the phone bill, the food bill, the hydro bill, paying off the car to purchase a car. And I'm only using these things to show the, you know, present the obligations and the purpose of the money. So just like it is today when you go to a bank, except you get a loan, if you ask the bank for a loan for a car, yes, they take your note. And if all the credit check and everything works out, they do not make the check payable to you. They make the check payable to the vendor. And that's because the money is to be spent. It's not meant to be saved. So the banks are actually doing everything properly in that sense. So we have to respect that when we present our note, it has to be for reasons that it's going to end up with the money going directly into circulation, not into our pockets. So once we have our note accepted and these contractual obligations can be met interest-free, we truly at that point do not need to have an income. And so although you may maintain your present job or you may start your own business, you're going to be an employee and you are entitled to income, but you're not going to take the income. The offer on the table is here is that this is all paid to the government. And this is how we fund the government. Beginning with our interest-free notes, convert it to interest-free currency or debt-free currency. And the reason, again, that it's debt-free currency is because there's no requirement to repay it. There's no interest obligation. So it's like we're bringing fresh blood into the system. Good blood, rather than, you know, there's the in with the bad, not with the good. Well, we're bringing in the good to boot out the bad, if you will. And at all times, it always starts with us, and it always has. So these are totally non-confrontational. We're basically saying we're willing to work and do whatever we do, and the government gets all the money. And that's why I relate it to the Merchant of Venice story, because it's essentially at that point, the government is getting something for nothing. But it's because we're offering it, so there's no unjust enrichment. It's just it's the other way to fund government. And my take on that is if we try to do things here that are not good for the government, it is not going to happen. The government, like many institutions, could be, whether it be the medical institution or the banking institution, financial institutions, they all have an existence and they all fight for their existence. So if we do anything that threatens that, they're not going to allow it to happen. So the approach here in the letter through the trustee is to recognize those things, not to mess with those things, not to trespass against whatever. It's purely to get it recognized that the people are the source of credit, and we're not debtors and we're not taxpayers, and we want the CRA to back off. But at the same time, the money that would be employment income that you would normally take, all of that would be paid over to the government to fund the government or cancel it or whatever they choose to do with it. So that's kind of it in a very, very brief nutshell where we're taking this thing. But again, it has to start with the will within yourself to, you know, let go of, I need money to live. And we're not saying here you won't have the money to live, but the thing is the money at no time comes to you. Your promissory note is converted to the currency that flows as currency, but the check is made payable to the vendor. So you're not at no time are you touching the money. And again, the income from your employment, whether it be self-employment or working for General Motors, doesn't matter. You're not touching that either. See, creditors don't touch the money. We don't need it. And certainly as many are aware, sons and heirs of God, there's another reason we don't need it. So we have to recognize that these organizations out there that do. So we're just basically, really what we're getting down to here is if we're being like that ever-ready battery and providing our energy for free, and the beneficiary of that energy is the entire system of which we're all part of it. So in that sense, we also benefit. If we don't provide some kind of consideration or reason for the party on the other side, what's in it for them? Kind of like what the Merovingian said to Neo, what do you got for me? And Neo didn't have anything for him, and that's what caused a bit of resistance there and got the Merovingian upset about some things. So he can, looking at it in the same light, and the government, again, Canada, does not have the liability for the name. It's bankrupt. That's us. We have the liability in that we can provide the remedy. So this whole thing about shifting the burden to someone else or these dead entities, if you will, to say you have the liability is, first off, is a denial of who and what we are. But it's not going to happen because dead entities cannot provide life. They're bankrupt. Oh. We're the source here. We're really the only ones that are solvent in that sense. So this, again, this there has to be a shift of thinking here, I think, in that trying to pass off, well, the government did this, the government did that, they did this and that and the other thing, and you have the liability because you own the name. I think it's all a false doctrine, to be honest with you, or perspective. And again, the reason that the government gave the power to the banks, from my understanding, to create the money is because the government no longer had the means to make its to meet its obligations, which at the time, back in the 30s or before that, it could meet those obligations with gold payments. But as you know, payment with gold has been suspended. So contracts cannot be demanded to be paid in gold. Hence the legal tender, the paper money, has been declared as this is what pays the debts. The question is what it comes down to is who is the source of the credit here? Who's the source of the energy? And again, when you're the source of the energy, just like a bank is an alleged source of energy, at no time when the money comes back to the bank and the principal does not belong to the bank, and they don't take it. But we're the true principal here, the true creditor, and we go to work and we take the money. So we're actually creating the credit to pay ourselves, but we're keeping it. Banks don't do that. People do, and that's why we have the tax liability. Banks do not have a tax liability on that money, on that principal amount. It's not their money. It's not their credit. They don't keep it. If they did keep it, they would have a tax liability. Think about it. So when you start looking at the banking business, they are doing everything right. And yes, they are an alleged creditor because people believe it and go in and ask for a loan. But the point is ultimately that the people are the creditor. We fund and power the whole system. And I suggest you ponder on that if you don't believe it and internalize it to the point that you know it and stand on it. And then open your eyes and take a look at the world from that perspective and you can kind of see things a little bit better, what's going on. And I'm not claiming to know the truth here. I'm just sharing my take on things based on my experiences and experiences of others and sharing of information and research and stuff. But again, the fact that the government had to do or gave the power to create money to the bank is evidence that the government does not have the ability, even though it has the authority in the Constitution, it does not have the authority to create the money. I would imagine at the time the Constitution was drafted that the government was able to meet its obligations by the payment of gold. But when the gold was all gone, that was no longer possible. So I don't think the constitutional argument is going to work. The government just does not have the means, the things that are required to start the engine to create the money. Hence, why it's for the taxation is because it's the people through taxation, the expenditure of our energy, and your energy is your property, by the way, that we expend our energy, and the fruits of that part of that is taken to pay the interest, as you know, to the bondholder. And we do not have as a collateral debtor, we did not knowingly agree to be the collateral debtor. And so from a contractual perspective, there is no contract. And there's really nothing they can do about that. And but again, the point being is that the legal entities, the governments, the businesses, the corporations, we really should be looking at it. They need us as much as we need them. And what I mean by that is if you want to have a car, you need General Motors to put it all together. So we need General Motors in that sense. If you want to buy food at Loblaws or from a grocer instead of growing it yourself, we need the grocery stores and the farmers and everyone and all the parties in between that produce it and get it to the stores and make delivery of it so you have something to eat on your table. And of course, with us, it's funding the whole system. So we really look at it that it is all one and we need each other. So this whole approach is completely non-adversarial. Checking and rechecking the letter, and I'm listening to conversation with God and reading other things to make sure that the words that are on that letter do not convey any negative energy whatsoever to the best of my ability. But it really comes down to the offer that we're making, and that is that, yes, we do fund the system, and any income money that comes our way or proceeds or money from any and all sources, wherever, whatever, gets paid over to the government, and that is what funds the government. So that is the offer for consideration. And I would suggest that the offer really cannot be refused. And let me put that into quick perspective. Technically, you could sue the government for not taking 100% because in not taking 100% keeps you bound up in the Income Tax Act. Further, the guarantees under the charter and international treaties, if you look at it from the perspective that we were never meant to work for the money or to keep the money, and we never had to volunteer to be taxpayers, the guarantees are there to make sure that you have your right to life. But as I mentioned last call, where we have circumvented those guarantees is we take the money when we go to work. So the guarantees, though, in essence, prevents the government from actually taking 100% of your income if that's all you were putting on the table. In other words, if all you were doing was saying, take 100% of my income and left it at that, they can't do it. Because then that would be a breach of your rights under your guarantees under the charter, which the only ones really the guarantees that would be of concern is the right to life and liberty, and life, of course, requires food and a roof over your head, things like this. So those guarantees more or less prevent them from taking 100% of the income, but the offer is on the table that takes you out from under the Income Tax Act, bottom line. And so there's basically at this point, and the other aspect of all of this is forgiveness of all debts. And why the forgiveness of debts? Well, when you know what a collateral debtor is, and I'll just put it in these terms, is when I was younger, when I got my first loan at a bank, I did not have a credit rating, so I did not qualify on my own for the credit. My dad came with me to the bank, and he co-signed as the guarantor, collateral debtor, on the loan. Now, I was the principal debtor, and I was responsible for the payments, but if somewhere along the way I was unable to make the payments, like Canada never did or never does have the ability, then my dad would be called upon to make the payments. And for every nickel or every dollar that my dad pays towards that loan on my behalf, technically and legally, I owe my dad. So where we have been making all of these payments in the form of taxation to pay the interest to the bondholders, for every dollar we have paid, yes, that money is owed from the principal debtor to the collateral debtor. Now, we could go and claim all of that money, but I don't think you're going to get anything because government doesn't have it. Not the point. So our only alternative is to say, well, we don't need it. If my notes are accepted at the bank for conversion to money, if I can get the food on the table and maintain a roof over my head, I don't need the money. So you know what? If there is a debt here between the principal debtor owes to the collateral debtor, only the collateral debtor has the power to forgive it. So we forgive all debts, and that would release the obligation from Canada what it owes to the people. And I would suggest that that's good. And because the fact of the matter is, as I say, it is the people that are making the interest payments to the bondholders through taxation, and we're doing that on behalf of the principal. Now, Canada being the principal, and I talked about this with a couple other people, but our government is our elected representative, which makes us the principal, and the government / our members of parliament and members of provincial parliament are the agent. Now, at no time is the agent responsible because he's just doing what he's been asked to do on behalf of the principal. But this is where it gets interesting. So the government could say, well, we're just doing what we're doing because you elected us. And so, okay, great. We don't argue with that. We accept that. So we're the principal and you're the agent. And if you look up the word constituent and you're located in a particular county, the member of parliament or the member of provincial parliament does operate the constituency office, and he is your agent. So the government in power is the agent and the people are the principal. But the agent is not liable so long as what he does is in the interest of and for the benefit of the principal. So we're not arguing any of this. We're accepting all of this. Okay, so the government is the agent and the government does what it does and it has the power to contract on behalf of the principal. It's exactly like a power of attorney. The guy given the power of attorney can do whatever he wants in the name of the guy giving the power of attorney, but the agent is not responsible so long as he does it in the name of the one granting the power of attorney. So the government can, and I think this is exactly why people have failed for the most part in trying to sue a government official because you're trying to sue the agent who is actually your voice. But where it gets interesting is when the government did what it did in giving the power to create the banks at, giving the power to the banks to create money at interest. Given that there's an alternative that it could have done it interest-free by asking us to provide the credit freely, if what the government did there is not in the interest of the people. Now, this is not, I'm not coming from a blame thing here. I'm just kind of laying out the facts as I see them. So let me repeat that. Where the government gave the banks the power to create the money from promises to pay, bonds, promises to pay, at interest, it is not acting in the interest of the people if there is another way to do things. And clearly there's another way to do things, and that is that they could have asked the people 80 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, look, we keep putting up the bonds here and you guys are paying the tax, making the interest payments by paying the tax. We could do this another way. You guys just issue your promissory notes, non-interest bearing, no fixed date of maturity, and from there we can create free money. That would be a benefit to the people. So in this sense, then, the agent, by giving the banks the power to create money at interest, is not acting in the interest of the principal. But again, it's not to come from a blame perspective or sue people or anything like that for these choices. It's just to recognize the isness of everything and work with it, accept it and work with it and fine-tune it that we can, without reinventing the wheel, just change one little thing, one little cog in the wheel, and that is that we stop acting like debtors and start acting like lovers and letting our energy flow freely, just like that ever-ready battery in your flashlight. It just sits there, and whenever it needs, it's called upon to light up the light. It does its job and expects nothing in return. So, again, when we get to the basis of the people do power the entire system, it is our credit that funds the entire system or backs the entire system. So in that sense, every one of us is a battery, and that would be evidenced by your promissory note. And you'll be doing the love thing so long as your note is converted to the money to pay for something. It's produced by the people, so there's the exchange of paper for substance. That's the revenuing. So you release your credit freely, and in return you can get use of the car freely because the bank will do the conversion to the money for you to pay for the car. And any bank fees that are included in this will just be added to the note. So it doesn't matter what things cost. You just have the note made up. You have to take up all of the parties that want a nickel, and you add it all up there, and that's the amount of your note. And everyone gets their money, and it's free. And then that money gets spent immediately. It goes to the various hands of whoever receives that money, the car salesman, the dealership, and the car dealership has a tax liability. It's in business to make money. So there's a tax liability there. And that since this is interest-free money now, that tax liability would not go towards paying interest on the bonds. It could be used for given over to the, pardon me, to the government and used to build highways, interest-free. No more need to put bonds up. The money's there. The worker gets paid, and he doesn't need the money because his note's accepted at a bank for conversion to money, so his money can be paid over to the government. Point being is that all of the credit of the people gets injected into the system. At the end of the day, it's all going to end up over at the government. And then can turn around and spend it or cancel it, whatever it takes to maintain a balanced economy. And again, build roads, provide services for people. Let's keep in mind here that not everyone is going to be willing to do this. There's lots of people out there that will still want to have a job and take the income. There's still going to be people on welfare, and that money has to come from somewhere. So we're really coming from the perspective that we are the source of the energy, and we're going to let our energy flow freely through the system and with no expectation of a return. But in so doing, the product is released to you for use. Going back to Roger Ulrich stuff, you know, release the property to me immediately, tax exempt, blah, 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 blah. Well, we're kind of talking about the same thing, but really getting to the underlying principles of the whole thing. But including here that the government does not have the means to pay the liability. The government has nothing here. It can't assume the liability. Her Majesty cannot assume the liability. In fact, a year and a half ago, some of you may be aware that I did something at the bank in Ontario here at a Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, and my whole approach was to get the bank to accept that Her Majesty was liable on the account. And the bank kept phoning me. They never denied anything here, but they kept phoning me and saying, look, we need a guarantor on the account. That's all they ever said. And I kept saying, that's Her Majesty. Well, in hindsight now, I see the futility of that because Her Majesty's not the guarantor. Her Majesty doesn't have any money, doesn't have any energy. That was me. So you see, where I was attempting to deflect the liability over to a dead entity that cannot give life, that has no credit, I was denying who I am, and it was not going to go anywhere because I, in that case, was the guarantor. So I had it backwards. And but it's one thing to be a guarantor in ignorance. It's another thing to be a guarantor with knowledge. And that's the difference here is right now we're all guarantors making the bond, the government bonds good, which makes the money good, which makes the whole financial system good. But we're doing that unknowingly and in ignorance. Well, now we're waking up to just a second here. It's our energy that makes that basically funds the entire, powers the entire system. And it is us that is the golden creditor, if you will. And it takes us back to the term guilt-edged credit is golden. And I think I shared in previous calls that I haven't been able to find the website since, but I did read years ago when a physician's notification of birth was considered the gold standard form. So yes, the birth of every man, pardon me, birth of a child is the birth of a source of energy, is the birth of a battery, is what powers the system, is a source of credit. There's nowhere else to go. It's us. So as the source of credit, in that sense, we have the liability, but I don't like to look at it as a liability. That's got negative connotations attached to it. We just recognize that we're the source of credit, and we're going to give our credit freely. And so giving it freely, we can receive freely. But we don't receive money because we're the substance side of the fence here. We receive the substance, the hydro, the phone, the food, the roof over our head, the lawnmower, whatever it is people want. And again, that's why I say it's the revenuing is we give up our credit in exchange for the substance, the credit which exists in form only, in digitized form, whatever you want to call it. And in exchange for or for the release of the use of the tangibles, the substance. As it is now, just like Colonel House said, when we're taking the money which is backed by us, we've cut off our face, we've cut off our left hand, not even realizing it. So therefore, the products cannot be released to us. They have to be purchased with after-tax dollars and debt money. So it really hinges on, as I say, as us recognizing ourselves as the source of credit, the source of the energy, but allowing that energy to flow freely in the money side so that the substance can be released to you. And then wherever the money flows after that, we don't really care except when it comes down to the income stuff and the proceeds. If you sell the car, you don't need the money because if you need a new car, you just go to the bank and issue another note for a new car. So when the car sells to one of those people that still works for money, the money doesn't come to you. It goes over to the government. Imagine, just for argument's sake, every man, woman, or everyone that's working in Canada right now, if all of that income, rather than us taking it, was paid over to the government, certainly add up to a substantial amount of money. And that money would be used to fund the government, which would be used to build the highways and the roads and maintain the infrastructure rather than going to pay the interest on the bonds. If your note's when your note's accepted at a bank and you want to purchase a car, you don't need to dicker on the price, just pay the price. And I suggest that the manufacturer's suggested list price is the price that the manufacturer needs to get in order to maintain its operations and grow and develop and design and implement new technologies, things that people like. As long as we like these things, then the energy has to flow to do it. If there comes a time when we don't care about cars and stuff like that, well, then those industries will fade away. But as it is right now, people like stuff, so fair enough. So we need to maintain these factories. So there's no need to dicker on the price. When we don't dicker on the price, you pay the full price. And every car General Motors sells, he sells it at the full price. That's a lot more income, and that's a greater tax liability, more money for the government to be spent or canceled, whatever spent for whatever purpose is good, or canceled. If there's an abundance and we don't need it, then they just cancel it. So there's really, in this sense, there's an unlimited amount of credit. There's no reason for debts, but we have to let go of the money. If we touch the money or the money comes to us, that's the resistance right there. We're not allowing it to flow, and we're not doing the love thing that we are. And that's why I love listening to Conversation with God audiobooks, because they say it again and again and again and again, and eventually you get it. It's like parents with their children. You know, the only thing you get from your children is the joy of having them, but you didn't have them for that purpose. But the point is that you have children and you look after them and you provide their needs, wants, and do whatever it takes to make them happy. And what's in it for you? It's the joy of having the children and seeing them be happy and helping them out. So it's totally unconditional is what we're talking about here. So kind of look at all the corporations out there and the government as our children. And if we treat them like we treat our true flesh and blood children, the world will be a different place. And so the parents spend a lot of energy for their children, but in return they get the joy. Get it? Joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. And so there's no depth with having a children. And, but the main point is there is that the parents expend energy to care for the children and provide for the children. And I'm not talking in terms of dollars and cents. So to me, that's, and the women especially, are a prime example of love. Women will throw themselves in front of a vehicle if that's what it takes to save the baby's life. That's love. That's free energy. It's without consideration. It's not, well, I'm not going to save my kid because I'm going to get killed. It doesn't even cross the mind. So that's kind of the basis of the principle of the letter that the trustee is sending. Again, the trust agreement is not the focal point. It is just to convey the authority and the power to the trustee that he can speak on your behalf. It's the letter that gets sent that is the meat of the matter, and it's in my view, and it's the critical aspect of the whole thing, is what's in that letter. Is it about us? What's in it for us? Or is it about we're here to help you? So where the story in the past has been, hi, I am from the government, I'm here to help you, we're going to change that now to, hi, we're from the people, we're here to help you. All we're doing here, plain and simple. But it has to start with us recognizing us as the source, and we can't take the money because it's us that's backing the money, and the creditor never takes the fruits of his production in money. If he does, he's not doing the love thing, and that's the resistance. That's why there's taxpayers. There's greater things going on here than the words on paper. And why I love this conversation with God. You know, I think it's a good time to, well, I'll just... You push star 6, attic here. Can you mute that out, Jim?
I'm on now. Let me mute the whole thing up.
No, I can't hear anything.
Muted.
Okay, if anybody wants him, have to star 6.
Yep, and whoever's got the static there, don't mute, don't unmute. So anyhow, I think I've said the basis of what I had to say. So just to be clear, the letter that the trustee is sending in is solution-oriented. It is recognizing who we are. There's no argument to that, and we're not trying to argue that. We're not driving that point home. We're just, and again, part of this information is relying on information from the minutes from the Standing Committee, which is in the government archives. But even without that, you just have to accept the fact that without people, nothing happens. And there's no organization out there that powers itself. It's all powered by people. And so in that sense, we are the source. We are the creditor. And that's the things that we should consider internalizing and then start walking that walk and seeing the world from that perspective. And as I put in the email today, we can come from a position of strength or a position of weakness. And we're coming from a position of strength, but we're also recognizing the weakness. The weakness is out there, and it's serving those weaknesses to make those weaknesses strong. So at the end of the day, we end up as one big equal. there's no imbalances. And if we don't do that, then we're basically trying to choke the system, and that's not going to be allowed to happen. Or if it does, it all caves in and we all go down with it. So we kind of have a choice here, all of us, to recognize certain truths or facts and ponder it on for yourself, and to work with that or to not work with that. But where the trustee is coming from here in this whole process is to work with the what-isness of things, not to change anything except that we are the creditor, not the debtor. That's the only thing we're changing here. And we're also recognizing that these other entities need us and we need them. So we must allow our energy to flow freely so that they get the benefit of our energy in terms of dollars and cents, because that's when the fiction side of the fence or the corporate side of the fence, that's what they live on. They don't live on substance. They live on the paper money, the digital money. And we're the source of it ultimately through our credit. So we let them have that, the non-substance, and in exchange we get the use of the substance, which is all things provided by God in our production. And no debt, no interest, no repayment, total free energy. And people can at that point truly expend their energy and do what they like to do and do it full tilt with no concerns about lack. No concerns about where's the money going to come from, because if you need it for the business, you just go and get it. And I would suggest also that when one comes to doing the love thing, and I'm not claiming I'm there to glorify myself or anything, but one is truly doing the love thing and his heart is speaking doing the love, then the greed factor is out the window. In other words, for those people who would say, well, what's to stop people from just going to the bank and getting up all kinds of money and buying all kinds of stuff out there? I would suggest that if that's the attitude of the individual or that's his consciousness, he will not get through that little pinhole in the wall that takes him from the side of debt into heaven. It's for his own consciousness and greed factors that will prevent him from getting through that wall and nothing else. In other words, the only way to be free is to do the love thing, and it is for a lack of us doing the love thing that we are not free. And so that's the basis of the whole program, really. Starting with getting it on the table of the 100% return of tax, and then taking it, but including the other levels at the same time, because it's all connected, it's all related. So, I guess now is a good time. If anyone has any questions, I'll take the questions, and I think you'll probably have to push *6 to be heard. And so fire away with your questions.
Hey, Victor, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hey, it's Karen from Toronto. Thank you so much for your talk. It was very, very enlightening. Just a few questions. Is this a one or all type of motion, if you will? I mean, can a few people do it and still be successful, or do we all have to do it?
No. It's in fact, the way it's structured is this is for those who choose.
Okay.
And because some people aren't, there's lots of people, I'm sure I speak with lots of people, I know others that do, that they're just kind of where our minds were before we got wind of, things going on in the world, and they're still wrapped up in that world, and so of respect for that, we're not going to resist that, but they're not ready to make the leap yet is the point. And so those who choose to get out of the box are the ones we're including here.
Okay.
And so, and the thing is, too, is to bear in mind, this is a private thing. If it was to go public, there would be absolute chaos.
So, Victor, if I gave myself to this, and I very much want to, you're suggesting that I just go to the bank and take what I need for my children's education and whatever my needs are.
Yep, whatever it is. But this would result from this process. It's not like you would do that tomorrow, but that's what we're shooting for here, yes.
Right. So
to establish this with the government, because it is a power to be there, that we're here to help you, and in helping you, we're helping ourselves. But it's really a peace offering. It's good for everyone. It's a win-win situation.
No, I totally understand that. But now, how would the bank teller differentiate me from somebody else who's not part of the so-called program?
Well, the answer to that question is, and it's in the letter, the trustee letter, that, and again, the trustee is speaking for everyone, and there's people so far involved from coast to coast. So that it's basically stated that their note is accepted at a bank. So we're not saying which bank it is, and we're presenting this to the government, so they would have to set up the account.
I see.
So it would be done in such a way, I would think, that, I don't know the behind the scenes. I've even said in there that it could be the Bank of Canada, that our notes are accepted at the Bank of Canada. Point being is that the government would have to establish that, because they're the ones that gave the power to the banks to create the money, and that's the connection we have with the government. And so to answer your question very simply is that order would have to come from government, and we're just putting the offer on the table, not knowing exactly how they would work it out. So it could go something like this. The government says, okay, we know what you want. Just sign on this piece of paper, sign a note in blank, and here's a credit card. When you die, we'll fill in the amount to close off the account. So the bank, you may or may not know what the bank is, but you end up with the means to access your necessities of life freely. So I don't see it that the government's going to call your local Toronto Dominion Bank and say, when this guy comes in, accept his notes. That would make it public again.
And you haven't had any talks with the so-called government on how they would perceive this at all?
Nope. They say we're just putting the offer on the table here. And then letting them figure that out.
All right. I guess you're looking for a lot of support to be able to go and say that you represent many, so that they can take note.
Well, I believe that there's strength in numbers, absolutely. However, at the end of the day, I don't see any reason why people couldn't do this on their own. If you got to hit the nail on the head and so on and so forth, but there's nothing here to really stop any individual from doing it of his own will, free will.
This starts with the trust agreement. Once that's filled out, you're part of the process.
Absolutely. What's happening is rather than sending a letter on everyone's behalf individually, which wouldn't make sense to send a letter for you and a letter for me and a letter for every, if there's 50 people, to send 50 different letters, I'll send one letter, including these 50 different people. Okay, and then when more people come on stream, I'll send another letter, because already this letter says, here's the ones for now that are partaking in this, and more shall follow. So it'll be one letter at a time, and then whoever happens to be on, have signed up at that particular time that the mail goes out, then they will be a party to that particular mailing. But I'm not going to send, one letter per individual. It makes no sense.
Victor, between actually surrendering yourself for the government to access 100% of all your income and proceeds and everything else, because that's what I'm understanding.
Money, yeah.
And the government reacting and saying, okay, yeah, this chap has surrendered 100% of his income to help with the debt and what have you. We will now issue, let's say, a credit card, for example, for all his expenses. That time lag, would we surrender after something's in place, or would we do it first and then wait and hope that the government reciprocates so we can actually maintain our life and liberty?
Now we have to make the first move here. Again, the government doesn't have the power to do it. It doesn't have the credit. We are the creditor. We have to speak up. It's basically what it's coming down to here. And so we have to take the initiative, and we've heard the story, it's better to give than receive. So true love is you, like the parents, you just do what you do without any expectation of an outcome. But the way the whole thing is structured is there's obviously people need to have access to funding, if you will, of some tool that they can access the groceries at the grocery store and pay for the heat and the hydro and these things.
Right.
So I just to make it real simple, and I'm not saying this is how it's going to go, but yes, once our credit flows freely, and that's no one within the system, not just government, because it benefits every business out there, benefits the entire system, which benefits us all. It gets rid of the whole debt situation, really. But at the same time, recognizing that we're the source, that we're not debtors, so we don't have to pay. But we do have the means to create the energy to flow through the system, the power of the system. And so for all intents and purposes, and just to make it real simple, the government says, yep, okay, you're right, your credit's back on our bonds, that makes the currency, so yeah, you can put your signature on your note, and when you need money, here's the credit card. But it's your own, see, you're not being lent the credit this time, it's your own credit funding your own way, you see?
Right.
As long as it's being spent. If it's being spent, that's good. It's when it's not being spent that we get into credit crunches, and it's like kind of holding your breath for longer than you can. When we don't spend the money, it's really just like holding your breath. You're holding up the oxygen and the air, and you're going to die.
And I know talking with you and talking to the others, those that have surrendered their 100% to be taken, they've not had anything removed from them at all. They can still access what's available to them.
That's correct. But see, the thing is there, and we have to take it to the next level because there's lots of people that are employees. And so they make the offer of the 100% tax return, and the tax man doesn't bother them anymore, but then there's still the deduction at source, which is really a strain on your purchasing power.
Right.
So this is why we have to take it to the next level, to not to say that we want to be have no deductions at source, because that doesn't really change anything. It's still debt money. It's to allow for that money to be paid over. I just sidetracked myself here. Sorry, can you repeat your question again, or your little story there?
You were talking about deduction at source.
So this is not about making deductions at source, but the point is that right now it's people doing the offer of the return. The revenue agency is leaving them alone, but it's not putting closure to the bigger picture.
Right.
So we have to take it to the next level, which is to introduce ourselves now as the creditor, as the source of energy. It's us that powers the systems, and we're never going to get free access to our credit if the system doesn't somehow get a benefit out of it. In other words, if we're insisting on getting the benefit of our own credit for our own selfish reasons, it won't happen. Which is what I see most of the processes, if not all the processes, that they have been about. I understand the acceptance for value is actually workable. It's almost the same kind of thing. The problem is that people haven't actually come forth as been recognized as the creditor yet. Further, they want the money at the same time, so they want the acceptance for value to be accepted, but they still want to get the income from source. You can't have it both ways. Again, creditors don't take the money.
And money is for spending.
But that's its purpose. Just like the air is meant for breathing. So like I say, just if we just do the 100% tax return, yes, that will stop the tax man, but that doesn't change the debt system. Remember, this is about a bigger picture here, and it's to get off of this debt currency into interest-free currency. And so we have to bring, like all I'm saying is we have to bring more into the story here now to take it to the next level than just the offer of the 100% tax return. Like I say, that'll stop CRA, but nothing else changes. And it doesn't get to, people could say, well, even if I got 100% of my income, and we've talked about this, if everyone got 100% of their income, meaning no deductions at source, that would be a huge benefit for everyone, no doubt about it. But we are the creditor here, so there's no limitations on us. In fact, when somebody says I'm worth $20 an hour, $50 an hour, $250 an hour, he's actually selling himself short. We've kind of bought into this dollars and cents and labor value thing instead of our creative value, which is really unlimited. So it's necessary to take it to the next level, and this is why we're doing what we're doing this way, to make it that the government does, in fact, take 100% from source, not just leave you alone. So that's the benefit to the government, that's how it funds government. So then government can turn around and say, well, then that's the way you're going to be. If you're going to give everything to us for free, well, then, and it's your credit that makes everything good in the first place, well, then here's the credit card to go nuts. Enjoy your life.
I mean, this removes all debt, all mortgages, loans, everything, and really frees the spirit to be able to be creative.
Well, and there you hit the nail on the head. And when I say those who choose, they will be those who come from the spirit. Because if when you're coming from the spirit, your purpose in life then is to serve, not to be served. And that's my take on it anyhow. And also, you don't worry about anything. You have no considerations for what's coming back my way. Because as the source, you just created at will. And this is kind of what we're talking about in a spiritual sense, but also in a physical sense on paper, in the legal system. But it starts with us having the willingness to let our energy flow freely. And there's the giving. It's better to give than to receive. But trusting that the way is God talks about it, and we can apply it to this world, if you give freely, you shall receive freely, but you got to make the first move.
And me out.
Just so we're clear, if anyone's interested, I need to receive an email for a request for the information. I send you out some information and you mull it over. There's a sample trust agreement, which is pretty much exactly like the actual trust agreement, but it's just a sample. You read through that, make sure you're comfortable with that. There's a document that talks about why the tax man cometh, and there's a document titled the fee document, which also has a form in there for filling in the information, because I need to have the name on the, from the social insurance card exactly as it appears on the social insurance card. I need to have the social insurance number and your name and the mailing address. That all has to be entered onto the trust agreement itself. So if you're interested, you send an email to bb@tritel.net. That is B as in Bob, at T-R-Y, Thomas Ryan Yellow, T-E-L, so Tritel, TRYTEL.net, N-E-T. And just ask for the information, and there's no obligation. You get it if you like it. You like it. If you don't, you don't. And but that's the first step. And then once you've reviewed the information, if you wish to proceed, follow the instructions in the fee document, and you email me that completed form from that. You save it as the social insurance number. Everything is there. Some people read it. Some people don't. But just to save some paperwork here, you would save that information as your social insurance number, because I create a file on everything. I'm keeping electronic and paper records track of everything. So you would send that completed information form to me. I then take that information and enter the particulars into an actual agreement and email that back to you for signature. Now, there's on the agreement itself, it says signed at. In there, you would enter the city or the town, wherever it is, the date, and you sign it before a witness. And the witness is better not to be a family member. I don't think it's critical, but certainly not in this case. I don't think anything's going to be questioned with respect to the validity of the agreement, because, again, it's the information in the letter that's the subject here, not the agreement. I don't see anyone challenging the agreement, and not that they can anyhow. But then, you know, that's the procedure. So you fill out the form, you save it as your social insurance number, you email it to me, I create a file, I then take the particulars required from the information you provide, enter that on the actual trust agreement, which I save as the social insurance number plus the words trust agreement, and email that back to you. You then print it out and fill in the blanks with the signature and stuff, and then you mail that back. And all of those instructions, all of that is in the attachment. It was called the fee document, or attachment. So everything is there, what people have to do, and if anyone has any questions, then we can certainly talk by phone.
Hey, Vic, Wally's had some problems trying to get on. He called me a couple of times. He just couldn't get on from his number. I'm not sure if he's on with us now or not. But unfortunately, I couldn't conference him in. My phone doesn't let me do that, so just wanted to pass that on to you.
All right, well, he'll get this is recorded anyhow, and he told me earlier that he had to be off by 10 o'clock, so
okay.
We're past that time frame now. So anyhow, there's strength in numbers, but it's a choice thing. It's got to be a voluntary thing, and either people are in or they're not. I put no pressure on anyone. I'm just doing what I have to do for myself anyhow, and thought, well, you know, it's... I know there's lots of other people there that want out of the box, and so the door's open for that opportunity, I guess, is really what it's about.
Does that remove you from the legal system as well, then?
It should remove you from everything. See, when we're talking about removing ourselves from the Income Tax Act, we're talking about anything and everything to do with money. So it's going to change things quite a bit. And in fact, it would go back to kind of like what happened with Queen when she became, or the woman that became the Queen. When she became the Queen, they took her passport. She is not. The Queen cannot be taken into a criminal or civil court. Okay, and I suggest that is because on the cartoon side of the offense, she is recognized as the top dog creditor. Creditor never goes to court. And when it's the top dog creditor on the cartoon side, on the face is the one that's funding the system, you can't throw that one in criminal, you can't throw that one in jail, you cannot involve that one in criminal or civil liabilities because that one has already given all she has. So that's kind of what this is about in this whole process, is that we're actually giving all we have to give. We have nothing more to give. And those that aren't giving all that they have to give, which is most of us, is to why we're in the pickles we're in. Like a woman wrote, and I liked it, it's she referred to it as cash confiscation. Because we're actually, you know, we are love, and we're not allowing it to flow, so then the system, God, is extracting it from us, passing various laws and ways and means to get it from us. And this is the whole idea of the tax, we started with the tax, the return of taxes. You look around, and anyone that's resisting, meaning is not filing or is not paying the money or telling the tax guy to screw off, not going anywhere. It's all resistance. So clearly, in my view, and I've talked to a lot of people in the last couple of weeks since the last call, it's one common denominator here in all of those cases, is there's some kind of withholding going on. But when you recognize yourself as, and I'll put it in these terms, when you're God, you're it. You don't withhold anything. You're there like the parent to provide all of your energy, whatever it takes to maintain and your child and nurture your child, so on and so forth, which is your creation. So when we see ourselves as creators, then we want nothing. And so anyhow, I've spoke with a lot of people, and there's, you know, it's like, it's just a total withholding going on. And so clearly, when we offer 100%, there's no withholding. When there's no withholding, there's no resistance. When there's no resistance, there's no cash to confiscate. That's where I know freedom is coming from. The love thing. Where there is love, there is no contract, there is no law. So in my view, and the Queen is demonstrating to us from the cartoon side, figurehead side, surely we're better than the cartoon, but she is showing us, hey, if you do things this way, where you're in service to everyone else, you can kind of have a lifestyle like me. I'm not talking about the big castles, but free of criminal and civil liability. Now, that's not to say that you can go out there and kill people. But I would add to that, when you're doing the love thing, the last thing on your mind is to damage anyone. In fact, you would probably put your own life. In fact, this is what this is about. It's putting your own life before others. Hello? But it's not to say that, people are above the law in that they can trespass against the rights and the freedoms of others. So, but where there is love, I would suggest that that won't happen.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I have a question.
Hey.
On this trust agreement that you sent back here, duties of the trustee and the payment to the trustee, how would we pay the trustee? With a promissory note?
Yeah.
How would that be handled?
All that information is in the information you'll get.
On the package, on the kit.
Yeah, so if you're interested, you just you send me an email, like I said, to bb@tritel.net.
bb@tritel.net?
Correct.
Tritel. Is that tel, T-E-L?
Yes, it is, 1-L.
1-L.
So you just request the information and for the trust agreement and stuff for the return of tax process, and I'll send that off to you, and then the ball's in your court, what you do from there.
Yeah, that's very good. Would this be a debit card system that would be set up regarding our bonds and promissory notes?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I mean, if we're going to have you say we deal with a bank.
Well, what I'm saying is when the trustee sends in the letter to the government, one of the things is presentment to the government for acceptance is that our notes are accepted at a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which bank that is exactly, you know, if you're in British Columbia, maybe it's the local bank near you. I don't know. Or it could be the Bank of Canada. I would suspect it's going to be like for. Here's the thing, any of your notes that are accepted out of Charter Bank actually end up at they're a mandatory on behalf of the Bank of Canada. Anyhow, because remember, when you make your principal payment back to the bank, that does not benefit the bank. It's just to pay yourself back.
Right.
The interest obligation that the bank maintains its operations, and this is why we have to keep the bank in the equation with our notes being accepted out of bank. The bank has to be paid a fee, otherwise it goes out of business. But rather than paying interest payments on loans, you would just be paying the fee for a conversion of your note to money. Now, so this is what's being proposed to the government for acceptance. Note is accepted at a bank, and then it's up to them what bank that is or how they want to facilitate that. The point being, we are the creditor, not debtors. We don't borrow money. We provide the energy. We provide the credit, and we're letting it flow freely.
Yeah, that would eliminate a lot of paperwork.
This is the thing, and someone before, and this is why this has been my motive driving force, is it would free the spirit up to do what it really likes to do, and paperwork is not it, and filing forms and filling out this and that is enough of that stuff, folks. And all of that would go out the window. Doesn't mean that, if you want to get groceries, you have to go get them.
Yep.
You know, if your car breaks down, you have to take it in and get it fixed, but you won't have to borrow money or take after-tax income to pay for these things. We are the source of credit here.
Hi, Vic.
That's a beautiful system.
Well, that's the way the system was built. That's the way God created it. But somewhere along the way, we allowed the ego or the greed to come into the equation. But if you listen to the Conversation with God audiobook, especially book one, it's all right there, what reality really is, what creation really is, but we're not being it, we're not living it. We're not reinventing anything here, we're just waking up to who and what we are, and we really truly have to get, again, this is my view on it, and I'm sticking to it, we have to get down to the love thing here, which is just free energy, and this is why we do not have free energy machines, in my view. I've said for years, it's an oxymoron to say we have machines that will produce free energy that cost $1 million to make. Think about it. So the worker wants to be paid to produce the machine. How is that free energy?
Well, Nikola Tesla tried to provide free energy free wireless energy for the world in his time, and was shot down because it couldn't be harnessed, because it couldn't be metered.
No,
it was made out to be a flake.
Well, I understand that, ma'am, but the point is I also read that he was ahead of his time, and to me that's...
Totally ahead of his time, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But because he wanted to give it free to the world, J.P. Morgan made him out to be a flake and backed, what's his name, Edison.
Yeah, I'm aware of all the stories, I've read all of that. My thing
yeah.
is... I shared on the last call, J.P. Morgan is God. It's kind of like God is saying, look, people, you cannot have free energy until you're willing to give freely of yourselves.
Right, right.
And nobody, and that wasn't happening. I don't remember being alive at that time, but I would suggest that the consciousness of the people at the time was not the love or giving of themselves. It was
exactly, exactly.
And so for those reasons is why Tesla was ahead of his time and why we do not have free energy. Again, it's an oxymoron to say we have machines that will produce free energy that cost $1 million. Think about it. Or $10 million.
I have two questions, Vic.
Yep.
They were proposed to me today. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. I was asked what the $300 or $500 fee, why it was being charged and what it would be used for.
Well, the two things is I put out in a seminar we did a couple, actually almost a month ago now, was things like this cost money. We asked people to dig into their pockets and nothing happened. And so it was just it was basically a do or die situation in that either I do this for myself on my no budget, because I can't do it. I can't help other people without a budget.
Yeah.
And further, if people really want to get out of a box and they want to be free, then maybe they should consider not the price, but okay, it's only a couple $100 or $300 or whatever the situation is. And it's also a thing to separate the men from the boys. And it's also, if there's a legal fee situation, as I shared at the seminar we did, if legal fees are to be incurred, it's never going to happen based on my experiences, saying people, you need to dip into your pockets here. So part of these proceeds, and I forgot to actually mention this on the last call, are being set aside for a legal fund.
Excellent.
So that if we have to sue the government to take 100% to get us so that we get off taken off the tax roll, which in itself would open a lot of eyes. So I don't see it going there, but if it's required, we need, lawyers want money.
Yep.
And filing fees, I just filed, wasn't much, but, I got this court thing coming up November the 11th for the court on the application for determination of the rights of the parties with respect to the name and some other stuff. Oh, there's $180 I didn't have, but fortunately, the money came, and so that was paid. So things like that. not to get rich. And quite frankly, I'm hoping, I'm praying that when the first letter gets sent out, it's over.
Yeah.
And then I can say to people, it's been accepted. So don't worry about sending the dough.
Yeah. My second question was, someone say just hearing about this today, and it really strikes a chord, but they want to take some time to mull over the information. Can they sign up like a month from now, 2 months from now?
Whenever. There's no limitation. The only thing I don't know is the future.
Yeah.
But so from my view, no doors are going to be closed here. And you know, people have asked me too and said, well, what if you get the deal done, Vic, and have to sign this non-disclosure thing? And I'd like to touch on that for a moment. Is I had no problem signing on a non-disclosure with an exception. But those, and I don't know how this would work out, but those who want to get out of the box have got to be allowed to get out of the box. So I will sign a non-disclosure on the basis that people come to me and they want out of the box. I'm going to send them to you that you let them out of the box. There's not going to be any of this. Again, I'm not doing this for me, and I'm not out to prove that to anybody. You'll just judge me by my actions, but I suspect to be a non-disclosure thing for everyone that will have to sign. But at the same time, there's got to be a way for, like I say, other people as they wake up and they want out of the box, that they don't have to go through 10 or 20 years or 50 years of research.
Yeah, exactly.
To find a way out of the box, that we can say, okay, we've got to deal with the government. There's a non-disclosure, but we've also got this door open for, as people wake up, they can go through that same door.
Thank you very much.
This whole thing, and just let me say this too for everyone that's considering this, even if you don't partake, send the love out.
Yeah.
No, it's us. We're the creators here. It's just stop looking at the world from the negativity and that they're doing this and they're doing that and they shouldn't be doing this and they're banning this and they're banning that. Forget it. Focus on what we want. Focus on the heaven aspect of it, and that's what we shall have, because we are the ones doing the creating here. Either way. Other questions?
Hi, Vic. I have a question.
Sure.
Yeah. Vic, I'm Tom. I live up near Quail. And
hey.
Right now I'm in Fort McMurray. So I have a question about those who are like subcontractors, you know, like to enable them to give sort of like 100%. You know, like there's people that work for employers, but there's other people that are self-employed, but they're under a corporation. So, you know, in this 100% tax return, I'm just wondering how that would kind of work out.
Okay, perfect. Well, having been self-employed myself for a number of years, I can relate to that very well. But the big difference here is one who is self-employed is the one that, you know, he pays himself and he does the filing and he's in control of the deductions. So this is really a no-brainer for those who are self-employed is once you put the 100% offer on the table, you draw whatever income you draw, and you don't have to file, and you don't have to pay.
Okay,
and you get to keep 100% of whatever you pay yourself, because you're the one that's in charge of making the deductions. But once you've made the 100% offer, it's done. You're out of the tax system.
Yeah, I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't looking for the, like for myself to gain. It was just like in my situation, you know, I have an incorporated company. I'm sort of like, I'm working for free. I'm here up in the oil sands. I'm here working for free, in a sense, for the company. I don't derive anything out of it until, well, maybe it's after tax time. The accountant might say, you know, your company was profitable. You can take a dividend. Oh, okay,
sure.
We'll take that. Right.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'd like to be effective, you know, like, you know.
That the 100, this, and it doesn't matter. It's right across the board. It's the same one answer for every situation. The 100% tax return gets you out from under the tax code. The issue is those that work for a company that have a payroll department that does the deductions before, you know, so you're not in control of that. There's people that don't have control of that. And this is why I say that we've since the last call, we've evolved this thing to the point that, hey, we're not concerned about the deductions at source. We want all of that to go to the government, because we're going to get our notes accepted at a bank for conversion to the money to meet our contractual obligations, that we don't need any of that income money. And as I say, if it requires...
Yeah,
Sorry?
Go ahead. No, I understand that. I just don't, myself, this is just a unique situation. I don't get paid in any kind of income. I just get paid in dividends, you know, if the company
doesn't matter.
Is successful by my... Okay, then I can maybe give 100% of the dividend I receive from the company as return to source or to government or what have you to be in harmony with the system, I guess.
Yep, that's right. And don't look at it, although we're talking about dollars and cents, look at it that you're giving of yourself freely. And it's when we do that that we can receive freely. So again, it's not just 100% return of tax. That's really an expression of I'm here to serve, not be served. I'm allowing my energy to flow freely, and I'm also recognizing myself as a creditor, so I don't need the money in the first place, so my notes are good. And then you could literally, you could fund your own business. You could go to the bank and say, I want to start a business. I need to pay for this, that, that. The business needs to pay for this, that, that, and this. So here's my note for that amount so I can cut me checks for this, that, that, and this, and get your business going, and you do what you like to do, whatever that is. And any money generated by the business in the form of profit would be paid over to the government. Any monies that you would normally take to yourself in the form of income would be paid over to the government because the fact is you don't need it, neither does your business because you become self-funding now. If that makes any sense.
I understand that. I've been very successful and my business is always profitable because I have good experience at the training, at the sort of giving of my energy through the name of the business to the contractor, right? And if the business is profitable or something, I'll get paid. If I don't, I won't get paid. But I've given, 12 to 13 hours a day or more of my time trying to make an effort,
Sure. You get to use the company truck and things, and the company pays for lunch, that sort of stuff, perhaps. So, but anyhow,
okay, that's right. In some cases, that way, too.
Like I say, when I was in business too, and but anyhow, it's to see beyond just that. It's really about getting it in ourselves that any money that's payable to the legal name from any and all sources is paid over to the government. So they get the benefit of that. But at the same time, we need to have our notes accepted so that we become self-funding instead of paying our way with after-tax dollars, which is a total loss of purchasing power. And this is part of the process. The trustees bring it to the attention of the government under this present system. It's costing energy of the people, which in terms of purchasing power. But not only that, we don't need to have all of that stuff. Our notes should be accepted at a bank for purposes that are good, not for greedy purposes, but so that one can become self-funding. And then, each individual, whatever it is he likes to do with his, everybody's got these dreams of doing something, and you'll now have the ability to do that, whatever it is, so everyone can express themselves, your creative capabilities. It frees up the whole thing. This is what it's really about. So you can kind of see beyond your present situation and see that this is culminating into having our notes accepted at a bank. Either that or, like I said, the government takes all the money and it pays the bills.
Well, that's fine. I just have to educate the chartered accountant in this to free up. So, we've got to pay the government all the profit that the business needs. It'll be kind of a new concept for him.
As I shared, I think we had dialogue back and forth on email, you and I, and as I said, if it was me in your shoes, I would tell the accountant, just do the taxes for the business, and I'll take care of the personal stuff. You don't even need to worry about educating. You don't even need to worry about educating him, because this is dealing with personal income taxes, not the corporate side of things. So there's your distinction.
Go ahead.
So that's the distinction. So, like I say, if it was me, I would tell the accountant, here, you take care of all the business stuff. And whether or not I draw an income, if I don't draw an income, then I don't have to worry about the tax stuff. If I was to draw an income, I just tell the accountant, look, you've seen how much I've drawn in income. That's an expense on the business. You just take care of the business books. I'll take care of the personal stuff. That way you don't have to be having any of this conversation with the accountant at all.
I've got a question.
Okay, thank you, Vic.
Max!
Hey, Vic, I got a question.
Yep.
If you get a credit card and you just go and use it whenever you want, where's the incentive for you to work and provide income for the economy?
Well, I would say that it's up to the individual. I can't answer that question for everybody, but I've talked to a lot of people about that, everyone I've talked to has said they would have no intentions of sitting on their butt and doing nothing. However, having said that, it was said to me from a friend in Quebec. He says, even if you never did or produced anything, and you were sick all of your life, you're a benefit to the medical system. so one way or another, we're a benefit to the system. Now, people, like I said, when we're coming from the love thing, I would suggest that the idea of, well, hey, I've got this credit card, I could buy myself a big mansion and just do and party all day long.
Yeah,
that's your choice. But even then, you still got to pay for stuff, right? So that gets currency, free currency into the system. So it's good.
But you're taking away, you're not adding, if you know what I mean.
No, you're not, because you're funding yourself. You're providing the credit. So how are you taking?
Well, because you're not providing income or adding to the...
When you go to the bank, let's say you want to party all your life. So you go to the bank and you get a note to buy $1,000 worth of alcohol. Where's that money going to go but to the alcohol company? That's good. That gets free money into the economy. That creates jobs.
Yeah, but if everybody did that, it wouldn't work. It would collapse.
Nope. How would that be? If everybody did that...
You have to have value added somehow.
Like I said, it creates jobs. There's lots of people out there now that have lots of money that don't work, but they still buy stuff, and so they're putting money into the economy. They're putting energy into the economy. But the thing is, here, you're not drawing from any place but yourself. So you're not putting a burden on anything, and any money that you create out of yourself, your own energy, does go into the system as a benefit to the system. And the more you purchase, even if it was for self-glorification purposes, it's going to put work in the factories. Like I said, there's lots of people that are still in the box, aren't party to this conversation, aren't aware of this stuff, and they still want to work for the money. And there's lots of people out there that don't have a job, and there's lots of people that would like to have a job. And so the thing is when we start spending our credit freely, it really will benefit the system no matter how you want to look at it. And I think if you sit back and think about it, you'll see that. But we're funding ourselves, so we're not drawing from any place. We're just providing free energy into the system. One way or another, you buy a house, needs repairs, you got to hire people to do that. You go to the bank, you get a promissory note drawing on yourself, and you get a check payable to those guys. So now they got money to put food on the table because they're still in the tax bracket and so on and so forth. And then they pay their workers and they pay their suppliers and so on and so forth. The money continually gets spent. That is free energy going into the system, period.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's free energy, there's no way for a burden. But if everyone wanted to party all of their lives, where the problem there would be, there'd be no one building the cars. So we wouldn't have any cars. And this is why I say, if people want to have houses and cars and heat and hydro, someone has to go to work and do that stuff. Now, if everyone was on the same page and say, let's say everyone knew that they were the source of credit and everyone wanted to party, but they realized, well, I can't party if I don't have the alcohol, and you know, the guys that were normally producing the alcohol are all partying too, so there's no one actually producing the alcohol, and there's no one over there at the hydro company generating hydro, and there's no one at the phone company to provide me phone service. Somebody's got to say, well, hey, just a second here. We don't go to work and do this stuff. We can't have this stuff, so what's the point of it all? But when we have a free energy, when we have a free energy system, it would go from a 40-hour work week to about a 15-hour work week, 20 weeks a year, and that's it. Then, yes, you can take the rest of the year off and party if you want, if that's what you wish to do. Myself, I would not do that. I got to be busy. Sitting around doing nothing is good for a day or two, but after that, I get fidgety. And I bet you it's the same for most.
Oh, well, I'm retired, so I get on my bike and use my energy up that way. But I see that as a problem. There's no incentive to go out and increase the value of the country or the...
Well, like I said, if when one's doing the love thing, what I'm hearing there is then, well, anyhow, if one is doing the love thing, then he's not concerned about himself. He's concerned about the system. So he's going to do something that is a benefit to the system. And I would suggest that your existence, everyone's existence, is a benefit to the system one way, shape, or form or another, and not necessarily in terms of dollars and cents, although at the end of the day, it will be accounted in those terms.
Hmm.
You want to ride a bike? You got to buy a bike.
Yeah.
So that gets money into the pocket of the guy at the store, does it not? And it puts money in his pocket, and money in his business pocket, and then he can pay his suppliers who have workers and have suppliers and so on down the line. At the end of the day, all of this money is, as the banking committee said, is that all money basically comes into circulation through wages, salary, and dividends.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, where we would run into a problem is if everyone decided to party. And we won't have cars, we won't have heat, we won't have hydro. But But at the same time, I would have no problem working on an assembly line for 15 hours a week for 20 weeks a year and say, okay, I've done that job. Next year, I'm going to do something differently.
Well, that's right. If you could reduce the work time, that would be a great asset.
Well, the reason people are working as much as they are right now is because of the debt system.
Yes.
No, I don't know how old you are, but if you're retired, then, for example, when I was a kid in the 60s, my dad worked and was earning under $2 an hour with a family of four kids, in a nice four-bedroom home in Unionville. We lacked for nothing, and Mom didn't have to work.
Yes,
now
I know.
Now it's Mom and Dad has to work, and the kids have to work, and even then, they're just barely above broke.
Yes.
And that's because of this continuance of a debt money system. It's the interest on the money that siphons it out of there, and then we have to pay this money back when really we're paying ourselves back, and it could be used for better purposes. But anyhow, it's the debt system that's bringing this about, and we are the solution.
I see. Okay, I'll have to think about it. Thanks.
Yep, I'll do think about it.
Dick, I have a question.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this is an obvious answer, but now, as an individual decision to do this, let's say that my partner, who's obviously a part of my family, is not interested in doing this. Does this affect her, or does this it still works for me? It doesn't affect my family or hers. I was just wondering if it would come back as to questioning why I'm doing it this way and she's still living the...
Nope.
Okay, that's what...
Nope, it's the first, and this is the thing. This
perfect.
We're really dealing with a social insurance account number, which is unique. Everyone has a number, right?
Yeah.
And your number is your number, and your accounting is your accounting, and your wife's is hers, and what you do has nothing to do with that other account number whatsoever. So I would say that my answer would be, is there any negative effects from this? No.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
And think about it.
Other questions, please?
Okay.
No more questions?
Vic, it's Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Do you need a copy of the actual SIN card itself?
No. Just it's all in the fee document. The information I require, and not all of it, but part of that information is transferred onto the actual agreement. There's some blanks to be filled in there.
No, I knew you were making reference to the number, so I wasn't sure if you required or not. Excuse me.
It hinges primarily on the name on the social insurance card, which is referred to as a legal name, and the account number, which is a social insurance number, because that's where all the accounting of the money coming and going, whether you're giving or receiving, is accounted. You go to work and you give X number of hours of labor is accounted through that, and your payment is accounted through that. So that's really the pass-through account is that. Birth certificate just acknowledges your existence.
Mm-hmm.
Because without it, as government people have said, if you don't have government identification, you don't exist. You can either be a creditor or a debtor in that sense, because you basically within the system, because the system cannot see men and women. It can only see information about men and women.
That's why you can't be a John Doe or Jane Doe, because they aren't recognized in the system, right?
Well, I would be not sure. Not to say you can't, but you won't be recognized in the system as a John. If there's 30 John Does out there, which John Doe are you?
Right.
To say that you're the source on this account, it wouldn't be. It'd be kind of like trying to be in the physical world without a physical body. You're there, but you're not there, and
right.
You don't, for all intents and purposes, you do not exist.
Well, like when people in the men and women are summoned to appear at court. They can't appear. Only ghosts can appear. So they're being asked to appear in the system with paper.
Yeah. Whatever, but it's how one appears. And what I'm sort of saying at the end of the day here, we will end up somewhat like the Queen, where you will not be commanded to court or summoned to court anymore, whether it be for criminal or civil. But at the same time, and the Queen acknowledges this, the Queen, although she cannot be taken to civil court or criminal court, if she wants to walk on her neighbor's property, she still asks permission. That's a respect for others. So when we're talking the love thing, we would not have to talk about, should I do it this way, should I do it that way. Love will be in control, and of respect for others, you wouldn't cause damage and you would not trespass. You would ask, do you mind if I walk, do you mind if I swim in your pond? Do you mind if I walk across your yard to have a look over there? Whatever. In other words, the queen does not abuse her freedom, if you will. And I would suggest that when one is coming from love, then those concepts would be foreign, that we wouldn't even discuss them anymore. Just like as one comes to love, you sooner or later have to stop talking about the ego, because as long as we talk about the ego, we perpetuate its existence. So
I have a question.
Okay.
George here. What about crossing borders?
Traveling different
states, going to the United States right now with this 9/11 thing.
Yeah, well, I think the terrorists are those that are, we're all a terrorist in that we're withholding. We're really choking the system financially. And again, when you look at the queen, she can travel to any country. It's all laid out for her in advance. She just says, I want to go here, I want to go there, or her itinerary is laid out, and she doesn't have to worry about border crossings and stuff like that. So I would suggest that, and I can't, beyond the borders of Canada, I really don't know. I'm only really focused on home. But other than that, nothing will change. In other words, when you get to the border, when you flash your passport or whatever you have for identification, they punch the name in the system, and you're not an enemy of the state because you're funding the state. So why would they bother you? When you're a source of funding for an organization, the last thing they're going to do is bite your hand. Think about it.
Will we become ambassadors?
You just do the love thing and you are what you are. Let's put it that way. I don't like to label things with words like that. But
yeah.
But I don't really like that terminology.
Okay.
But I get the point.
Yep. Thank you.
Another question, Vic?
Yep.
Do you have this trust agreement set up for the Americans also, or is it just for Canadians so far?
Just purely Canadians, as I expressed in an email yesterday. I'm not familiar with the U.S. tax codes and all of that, although, to be honest with you, it's the same one road, and people in the States or any tax-paying country could make an offer of 100% and start from that. And
well, I know that there are several of us in these groups that we have here that, we've gone there to Canada with a small Texas group. Visited you October, I guess, last year.
Yep.
And, ever since we've been sending letters of 100%, offerings and whatnot like that, and we're not getting any kind of responses.
Meaning?
I mean, we're not getting any kind of responses whatsoever back. I mean, even if we're taking 100% and offering it over to the government, however means we do that, we're not getting any kind of responses.
Yeah, well, I'm not aware of anyone here getting an actual response and making that offer. All I'm aware of is that the CRA doesn't bother them anymore.
Mm, okay.
And this is the reason, though, for taking it to the next level. Like I said earlier, the 100% offer of return of tax so far has stopped the tax man from coming, but it doesn't resolve all the other issues. So
right.
This is why we're kicking it up a notch now in recognition of other factors, and primarily that, hey, we're the source of energy here, so we need to get that on the table. But we also need to recognize, as I say, the government, we can't be choking the system here. That's a financial terrorist, and because there's so many people involved, and there's the public interest and public policy and all this and that and the other thing. So if your purpose in your life is to benefit the system first and foremost at your own expense, if you will, of your energy, which is all we really have, then that's when you'll receive freely. And so no, nobody here, to my knowledge, has got responses in sending in that offer either. They've just been left alone. And that's exactly why we have to do something in addition to that. In fact, I don't know if I said it earlier, but it could be something like this. I'm just throwing this out there. Actually, I did say it before, but and just to make the point, that we could launch a lawsuit against the government saying we offered you 100% and you're not taking it, and by not taking it, you're keeping us locked up in the income tax code, and we don't want to be there because we're doing the love thing here, not that. So it sounds ridiculous, but not really, and it's not an avenue I would say we pursue. It's just to make the point that you could actually take the government to court. I'm not suggesting anyone does this. To force the government to take 100% from source, because in not taking it, we're keeping you as a taxpayer. But this is why I'm saying is those who have offered 100% have effectively removed themselves as having an income, because when you're saying take it all, you're not under the code, because you're not on paper, you're not drawing an income. And whether they take it or not is not the point. it's your intention that does the speaking here. Did you intend to profit or gain here? Well, I offered 100%. Well, then, no, you did not. You did not intend to profit or gain. So we have to, like I say, kick it up a notch to get it that they do take the 100%, but at the same time recognizing that we need to have the money that flows as currency, access to that, that we can access things that are for sale in the marketplace, but without the need to repay and without the need to borrow. We're the source of all of that credit. Most people on
but
the
can
call.
Can you hear me?
That. Sure can.
Yeah, I have a question. What about the people who get government pensions?
Well, again, let me make this clear. When your note is accepted at the bank for conversion to money to meet whatever financial obligations are associated with your legal name, you don't need the pension.
Yeah, I understand that, but many people need that to live now. Like, how long would this transition take, I wonder?
Well, let me put it this way. It would be simultaneous. So when at some point in time, when the government says you've made your offer on the table, and the government says, okay, you've offered us 100%, we'll make your notes good. Here's the credit card. So now you have a credit card, and I'm just using this as an analogy. So now you have the credit card that you can buy the food and pay the property taxes, whatever, interest-free and all that sort of stuff. You don't need the pension, just like you don't need the income.
Yeah, okay.
And I wanted to say, too, for the folks in the States there, if you guys want to come up here and sit down and have a little meeting and I'll show you exactly what I'm doing here, I have no problem with that. And you guys can take it home and work it into what you're doing down there. I'd be happy to do that.
Hey, Vic, I just wanted to ask about the spelling of your email. Is that V for Victor, the E for Bravo, at the word try, like TRYTEL.net?
Yep, but it's B as in Bob, B as in Bob.
Okay.
There's no G for Victor there, so BB, like Bumblebee, at try, TRYTEL.net, NET.
Thank you. And thank you for putting on this call. It's very informative.
Thank you for joining. So again, folks, if you kind of take a look at things in the what's happening in the marketplace and the so-called tax protesters, and you kind of start to see after a while that it's all based on resistance. And yeah, you can hold the belief that, well, no, they're screwing us and continue to fight that, or you can just realize that, no, maybe it's not that at all. Maybe it's because God created this world that is based on love, and love is freely given energy, and until I do that, I'm going to be in bondage. We can't be free and not do love.
I have a question, Vic.
Yes.
By offering my 100% income, that takes me out of a tax loop of the income tax. What about the GST or HST?
Well, again, anything to do with business, this is not the purpose of this call. This is strictly to do with personal income tax. So, again, if someone's operating a business and you're collecting the GST and the PST, it's not your money. In good conscience, you should be, if you're taking it from the people that are paying it to you as a tax collector, you should be paying it over.
Okay, well, after I pay it over and I'm done and clear for the year, shall I cancel that number after that, or shall I stop collecting it?
Well, it depends. Again, I don't want to get into talking about business here, but if you want to maintain your business, then that's one of the rules of doing business is you're agreeing to act as a tax collector, and in any case, whether or not you collect it, if you do collect it, you should be paying it over. So I'm not telling you what to do here, but you know, if you're in business and have a corporate entity, that corporate entity does collect GST and HST, it should be submitting it. If you don't want to collect it, tell your customers that you don't collect it, but if you want to pay it over there. But like I said, I don't want to get into this conversation. It's to do with the personal income tax only. You see, when you register a business with the government, essentially the government is the creator. And so you should be abiding by the rules.
Okay.
But again, in part of this process, as I say, you become self-funding here when our notes are accepted at a bank, so you may want to start a whole new business or maintain the existing business. Doesn't matter. And if the existing business has liabilities, you just draft up a note and pay it to the business. So your business will be debt-free. It doesn't need to have a profit either. Because you're self-funding. If the business needs new furniture and stuff, you just draft up a note and write the check to the business. Business then takes that and goes and buys what it needs for the business. And again, any profits and income get paid out. in the form of the 100% tax. So when you become self-funding, in other words, it's like you can dip into your pocket for the rest of your life and pull out whatever cash you need for whatever purpose you have. You don't need to have money coming from any other source but your pocket. That's what we're talking about here. So any other money that would be payable to your legal name from any other source can be paid over to the government, because you can just dip it into your pocket anytime you need money and get it free.
Well, that's how God intended it, isn't it?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Not for my chair, and what you just said is exactly the basis of the whole thing, and that's why we're suffering. It's all a consciousness thing. It's not man doing it. It's God doing it. I believe God is saying, hey, until you do love, you cannot be free. Because only where there is love is there no contract, is there no law, is where one gets into the situation like the Queen, where you cannot be taken to criminal or civil court. So no question, that's how the divine created. That's what the construct of the whole system, the whole thing that we perceive as reality, is created out of love. It's free energy. Just like parents who love their children, they provide their own energy to the children to maintain the child's life, and they do it for free. They do it for the love of the child, their creation, and the joy.
Well, there was a time that people lived like that, you know.
Well, we can all live like that, and I agree with you. But the thing is you know, some of the organ or bands or whatever you want to call them that live like that are still living limited. You know, there's lots of talk about creating these little communities where we can all pitch in and build a garden and do this and that and the other thing. Well, that's fine and dandy, but that's not dealing with reality in the bigger picture, in my view. It's honorable, but it's limiting, and we should be able to do these things anywhere and everywhere. But at the same time, respecting the rights and freedoms of others and not trespassing against that. And, I would suggest that once this is happening, that a lot of anger would disappear and be a lot more smiling faces. And if someone says, well, you can't do it this way, you go, no problem, I don't really care anymore. Just a lot of negative energies would disappear. Those negative energies, in my view, are from, again, withholding our energy. We're not being what we really are, and there's an internal frustration, if you will, that we don't necessarily understand, but it's causing us to act in strange ways. But no question in my view that this whole game is, this whole reality is love. Take a look at, from the moment of the so-called Big Bang, started with nothing, and boom, there's all of this, and there was no cost to it. It was just one big act of giving, unconditionally. And so each one of us can have that little reality, and that's what I say about self-funding. You dip into your pocket is like creating another Big Bang of funds to go out into the system, to add to the system, to better the system, to expand the system. And again, that's only on the basis that as long as people want stuff, that we're going to need the money to circulate from our pockets to the fiction side, because that's their lifeblood. And then once everyone on planet Earth is doing the love thing, is the divine says, well, once you all come to the love thing, then all of this will disappear anyhow. We're only here because of resistance. So we have the opportunity to elevate, but we can't elevate so long as we're operating from resistance. You can't be at the higher level where there is no resistance when we're being living in resistance. Doesn't make sense. Like I say, we cannot have free energy machines so long as it costs $1,000 to build the energy machine, or $1 million or whatever it costs to build a free energy machine. It's an oxymoron. Any other questions?
Laura.
Okay, well, if that's it for the questions, then... I'll close this off then by just reiterating here is, I guess the easiest analogy is to recognize yourself as a source of credit, that in a sense you're dipping into your own pocket and providing whatever funds is required to fund whatever journey you wish to take. It's interest-free, it's debt-free, there's no repayment, and whatever comes out of your pocket does get spent into the system, so it's free energy going into the system, which is creative power, and it frees everything up. But it has to start with us in the will to give, rather than coming from the perspective someone else has the liability for this name. It's like God looking around and say, who's liable for my creation here when there's only the one? We're really living in denial and maybe seeing things backwards. And And again, there's a lot of people that are having a hard time with the tax man, and the harder they resist, the uglier it gets. And so I think when we let, well, I know for myself, when we let go of the resistance and just let it all flow freely, give it freely, and so that money in our, leaves our pockets, if you will, through the banking, through our notes, through the banking into the system, and through taxation and return of income to the government, that's how we fund government. It's all based on non-debt interest-free money, so there's, it's the only way to free up the system, and in freeing up the system, we free up ourselves. Plain and simple.
Is it still too late for questions?
No, not at all.
All right. My position is, I guess, a little bit unique. As of November, it will be 2 years that I haven't worked under the social insurance number. And I can say it's been an extremely freeing thing. I totally support you in regards to legal tender. I'm not going to have any, but what I do have is I have the time to spread the message, which I'm doing, is we do need to go to love, and I love what I'm hearing here. So if you have any suggestions for how I could help you, I believe there's a lot of merit to this system. Yeah, how can I help, I guess?
You just really said it there, doing the love thing. Just share it.
Oh, it's full-time employment, and I like it.
Yeah, but it's a good job.
Yeah, I've even gotten to the point where I'm dealing with people that don't know that I can even make them laugh. So that's pretty good, and that includes CRA agents.
Well, then what you're doing is very good. That's a good thing. If anytime we can make everyone, people laugh, it's, that in itself frees up, helps to free up us all, right?
Yeah. Well, I accept that they believe in what they're doing, and that there's power behind what they're doing. I just ask questions, and generally, then it becomes actually pretty hilarious. But I'm totally on board. I've followed a lot of your work, and I would like to thank you for putting on this presentation. It's nice to know that there's with someone as close as Red Deer that is actually on the call, and for the amount of funds. I can't see a better thing. It's hard to describe how freeing it is when you can handle anything. And that's exactly how I feel. I can handle anything, and that I'm the remedy, and I don't have to fight everybody. It's not a fight.
There you go, and that is freeing. And thank you for sharing that. Actually, it's very good, and I agree with everything you said.
Right on.
And that the fighting is, you know, we're really fighting ourselves, and when we make somebody else angry, it doesn't help us at all. It's not the way to go. And I'm glad to hear you're getting the CRA agents to laugh, and I agree too, that they're only doing their job, and they're doing it because of what we're doing, or a reflection of us, or our attitude. And in other words, a bad judge is because we're being judging badly. And I think they're under stress too, and everyone's under stress, and so in coming from the perspective you're talking about there is how we start to free things up. And eventually there would be no Canada Revenue Agency. And those former agents and us could be on the golf course having fun instead.
Yeah, I agree.
The choice is with us. Or we can continue to fight it. That's the choice we have. But I'm not interested in fighting anything.
No, and it's hard to be fearful when you're in a loving state.
That's right. And interesting. And exactly. Thanks very much for sharing that. I love it.
Yeah, you're an inspiration, so I appreciate it. I'm going to sign back off.
So are you. Everyone is. All right. Well, if there's no more questions, the floor is still open, but if no one's going to ask any questions, then we can all get going on with our evenings here. And I only wanted to have the call for an hour, but whenever I say that, it goes on for longer than that, which
is
fine.
Is there going to be another conference call in the future?
I can't say that, but I would say probably.
Yes.
I should add also, there's possibility. Well, actually, it's looking like we're going to be having a seminar in London, Ontario towards the end of November.
London?
In London, Ontario. that's being organized by someone, and as far as I know, that'll be booked tomorrow. So I'll be sending information out about that once it's solidified.
Right.
But as far as calls, I'd be happy to have the calls maybe every couple, 3 weeks, or whenever the urge hits. And I kind of follow the responses I get from people, and sometimes I get a sense that people are having a glitch on something, and I figure that's a good time to have a call. But in the meantime, I would just ask the people kind of think about things, and using the example of the free energy machine, it's an oxymoron to say that we can produce free energy machines that cost $1 million to produce.
It's just that more people are getting involved, eh?
That's the thing, and that's what tips the scale, right? The hundred monkey syndrome, and it doesn't take a lot of us to tip the scale, but we just let go of the negativity and just do the love thing, and and really overnight, the condition of the planet can change, the condition of life can change.
So your email is bb@tritel.net.
Yes, B as in Bob. So it's bumblebee at tritel T-R-Y. T is in Tom, Edward, Larry, Dot, Norman, Edward, Todd.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Again, if you're interested in receiving the information, there's no obligation. You look it over if you want to proceed to do. If you don't, you don't. There's no obligation whatsoever, and sure appreciate that people have to come to their comfort zone. I appreciate that, when I got into this game 11 or 12 years ago, my first introduction was kind of coming with people that were seeing things in a negative perspective, so I joined on that bandwagon for a short time, but I did join on that bandwagon. And it takes a while to go from the negative viewpoints to seeing the perfection in it all and doing the love thing instead. So there is a shift required in people, and I appreciate and respect that, and there's no judgment here on my part on anyone, and if I do, give me a slap. But I'm really just judging myself, and so I appreciate the, again, I've talked to a fair amount of people the last couple of weeks, and they've indicated that they were, what attracted them to, if you want to say, our new information or new way of looking at things is because it was so radical, but at the same time felt so right. And radical in that, a lot of actions to date has been people going into court and I'm going to beat these guys up and I'm going to put them in their place and tell them they can't do this and that and the other thing and ask them who has the liability for the name and all that. Really not taking responsibility. We are the creators here, and there's nowhere else to turn but ourselves. And so it's really good if we can just let go of the negative stuff and really see the perfection out there. And I don't care what it is. If there's countries being bombed, then we got to look at ourselves as the cause of that. But we can also, if we're not aware of countries being bombed, the question is, are the countries being bombed? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there, does it make a sound? There's bigger things going on here than our perception of the physical reality and how we judge it. And we really don't know why what happens. But I will say, and my understanding is, for example, this tsunami that hit there a few years ago, that was a release of a lot of negative energy, of a lot of negative thinking, and it had to release somewhere, and that's where it was released, in the ocean there, and that was the cause and effect of it all. And if you listen to the teachings of Abraham and conversation with God, they will tell you exactly that. There's no escaping negative thinking, and we would all just turn around and do the love thing, and there'd be the concept of negativity wouldn't be there, and there would be nothing negative happening in front of our faces. We're creating it with our thoughts.
We could end poverty.
Totally. It would become a non-concept of poverty, but would be foreign to us because we'd all be successful. And like any teacher will tell you, the best way to come to success is to help others be successful. So the best way to come to love is to be and do it, not waiting for someone else to do it.
Right on.
And recognizing also that we power the system, so the system cannot help us, but we can help it. And in helping the system, we help ourselves. Choice is with us. So you're not going to hear any more talk from me about who has the liability for the name. Makes me want to puke now that I think about it. And then, yes, I went down that road. Okay, well, if there's no more questions, then
how would we get a copy of this conference call?
It'll be posted at the new website James has, but when I have the particulars, I'll be sending it out on emails, and unless someone else can offer answer that question for the gentleman here now.
Code is 712.
Code 712, okay.
775-7499.
That's a phone number. Same phone number.
And the access code is 530-406-POUND.
536-406-POUND?
Yeah, 530-406-POUND, yes.
Is that the same one that we called to start the whole thing?
Yep.
No, that's the same...
The same phone
the
number?
Same access code, yes, but the phone number is different.
Okay, I was having trouble getting a pen. Could you give it to me one more time?
Okay, 712.
Mm-hmm.
775.
Uh-huh.
7499. And the access code is 530-406-POUND.
All right, I've got it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay, so I think we'll call it an evening here. We've been running over 2 hours now, and enough said.
Thanks for all the input, Vic. Great.
Thanks for calling. Just keep in mind here, you know, and I appreciate people, the compliments and the comments and all of that, and but we're all one here, and it's not me, it's us. And so give yourselves a pat on the back if you're going to do that, and just be happy and that you're a part of something. And I could say the power is with us to change everything, and we just have to change our thinking, which will change our perceptions, and we'll stop judging things and recognizing that we can help rather than be helped. And so I thank all of you for making this possible.
Thanks, Vic.
Thank you, Vic.
Thank you, Vic.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Love you all.
Thanks,
love
everybody.
You. Thanks, Vic.
Love
you.
Okay,
love you, too.
Love
you. Bye-bye. Have a nice evening. Well,
peace and love, Vic.
Likewise. Nice. All there is. Everything else is an illusion. Deadly one.
Even the one I let go a couple minutes ago? It cleared them all out.
they bought into it.
Just me, though. No.
Probably started with the ears. They heard something.
This conference is no longer being recorded.
Okay.
It had to be Bill.
Good night. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.